We had fewer folks here last night, but we made it sound like we were meeting with a church meeting for sure. And tonight we've got them here, and we're sounding like a church meeting again. But it's good to have you all here tonight to be a part of this spring lectureship program, preaching the gospel, and the particular passage of scripture on which it's based this year, 1 Corinthians 14:40, let everything be done decently and in order. And we applied it last night to the subject of preaching the gospel decently and in order, and worshiping with the church decently and in order. And there were some people in the Bible that didn't do those kind of things, and as a result, they hurt the cause of the Lord then, and it hurts the cause of the Lord today, when we fail to do things decently and in order. Would you please turn in your songbook to a couple of songs for us on this way? First off, number 683. If you would mark 683. That'll be the invitation song at the end of the hour of time for us. That'll be sung after Brother Ed's presentation. 683. Would you live for Jesus? And be always good. Now, if you would, please, let's sing a couple of these songs and have a word of prayer together. Brother Bill Koff will lead us in this word of prayer tonight, one local member share, and always a great supporter of and helper of the school program. And we're glad that this lectureship is underway as we have this spring. Number 623 now. 623. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what ease we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Teaching us tonight about how this helping of others
is so important, the work of the Lord, to be done decently and in order. All right. Number 51.
Bring
sunshine that lifts our spirits, and Father gives us a time to work and see your glory. And Father, we're thankful this evening for us to be able to assemble here, to be a part of this lectureship, to hear your word proclaimed. We're grateful, Father, for the men that are faithful to your word. We're grateful for Brother Allen and Brother Ed being here to proclaim your word to us tonight. We're grateful for Brother Robert, Sister Jane, as they work here at this congregation. And Father, we pray for all of our congregations that your work will go on, and we're thankful for faithful brethren that preach, proclaim your gospel. Thank you so much for the blessings that we have in this life. For the physical things that you bless us with, Father, we are so grateful. We're grateful that you look out for us every day of our lives. And Father, we're grateful for the spiritual things that we have through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for sending him here on this earth to not only teach us the things that you'd have us to know, but Father, to go to that cruel cross and die on it for our sins. Help us, Father, to be more like him every day in our lives. Thank you for the church that meets here at this place, and for the congregations that we know that about us, and even the church throughout the world. Father, we pray that your church will grow in spirit, that it will proclaim your word in such a way that it will grow in number. And Father, we pray for those places that don't have your word at all, that some way, somehow, Father, we can be able to reach them and to teach them the things that you would have all men to know. Thank you for the land in which we live, for the boundary that we have.
And Father, we pray for the leaders of this land that they'll look to you for guidance and not to man's wisdom. For we know, Father, that our forefathers on this land looked to you for help and guidance to even bring this land into being. May we go back to that system of having you in our lives, in our government. Father, we're thankful for the men and women that care for this land, that are in the military and that fight for our safeties and to keep us from harm. Bless them, Father, and bless their families. Father, we pray that you will keep them safe. For the first responders that we have, for the police, the firemen, Father, we pray that you'll watch over them and, Father, also keep them from harm. We're thankful for all these. Bless us tonight, Father, as we hear your word. May we take it in our hearts, live it out in our lives, and may we be enlightened to the things that we need to know. In our lives, we realize, Father, from time to time that we fail you, that we miss the mark, that we sin. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to overcome our weaknesses, to forgive us, Father, that we may stand justified in your sight. Father, help us to love each other more every day and love you above all things. For this prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
What a beautiful evening it is indeed, and I'm so thankful for my family being here, my immediate family, for so many familiar faces, and particularly my family in Christ. And so I'm thankful for them and for each one of you here this evening as we study from God's Word. And I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles this evening as we begin this study in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to begin in the 22nd chapter. Luke chapter 22, and we will begin here in just a few minutes talking about this idea of serving others. How do we do that in decency and in order? How do we go about serving other people? Before we begin to get into our points this evening, and because of using our time wisely, I'm going to be quoting some scriptures. So if you want to make notes of that and connect passages, certainly do that. But one of the things that we learn when we study the Gospel of Luke is that Luke is a physician. And he was willing to give up some of that physician to be a companion with Paul in preaching the Gospel and writing the Gospel of Luke about the life of Christ. And Luke was not only an educated man, but Luke was also directing the Gospel of Luke particularly to Theophilus. And he's going to write about the life of Christ, but in particular, he is going to write about the life of Christ and in order of what Jesus did. And it's interesting as you begin not only reading the Gospel of Luke, but there's really some themes that you see in studying the book of Luke. One of the things that you discover as you begin to turn the pages, beginning from chapter 1 all the way through, is that you see this idea of repentance or penitent attitude. All the way through, Luke is emphasizing those who are rich or haughty-minded, those who are arrogant or proud, versus those who are humble and those who are penitent. You also see this other theme as you move through the book of Luke. That, of course, is being a servant, which is what we're here to talk about this evening. Serving others. In Luke chapter 22, our first point this evening, if you'll begin with me, let's read this together in verse 24. Following the Lord having what we would call the final or the Lord's Supper, partaking of the Lord's Supper for the first time with his disciples, knowing that Jesus would be killed, would be crucified, following this last Passover meal. You remember we talked about the Passover, I think, before? The Passover, of course, goes back to the book of Exodus, and it has to do with when there was blood put on the doorpost. In the Old Testament, the angel of death would pass over that and would not destroy the firstborn in all the land of Egypt who did so. And of course, that being only the Israelites who were given that commandment. All the Egyptian firstborn and from cattle and from every man was destroyed who did not have blood, which emphasizes that without the blood of Christ, we also will be lost. Notice here with me, let's begin reading this together. Jesus has just told who is going to betray him, leading into verses 23 and 24. Let's read these together. And they began to inquire. The they here is, of course, the apostles. Began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that would do this thing. Now look at verse 24. There was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Underline that. The greatest here. But Jesus said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. He's talking about those who would normally be in governing power. Those who were in the world during this time who have lordship over those who were slaves or servants. Notice here what he says. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. Those are those who are going to benefit from someone being a slave. But now look at verse 26. But you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. Some versions say, let him be like the youngest. In other words, like the one who is the least. And he that is chief, as he that does serve. Now Jesus is going to embark upon a series of questions here that gets us thinking about really our lives and the importance of really, we sometimes do this and we don't realize it, but sometimes we like to compare ourselves to other people. Well, I'm better than so-and-so, or I'm doing more than so-and-so over here in the Lord's church, and so you see, I'm more important. That's not what Jesus is saying. The disciples were arguing over who was the greatest. No doubt, many of them were probably discussing who it was who was going to betray Jesus. But Jesus says to them, notice here, he asked the question beginning in verse 27. For whether is greater, he says, he that sits at the meat or he that serves? Which one is greater, the person who is being served or the person who is doing the serving? The question here is designed to get them to think about, well, does it really matter if I'm the one being served, or does it matter if I'm the one serving? Which one is more important? Now, I want you to notice this because he's going to use this to teach you about what he is doing. Notice this. It's not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serves. Jesus says, look, you're going to decide, you're going to be asking this question, who is the greatest? But I want you to look to me for the right example. I want you to look at me because we know that Jesus came to seek and save the lost, Luke 19:10. But we also know something else about Jesus. Jesus would take not only himself, but he would go down into a we might say, take this water and begin washing the feet of his disciples. And Jesus is trying to give them the emphasis that the emphasis is not on them, but the emphasis is going to be about him. Many times, a lot of our problems that come about in the Lord's kingdom come as a result of this attitude that we are the ones that need to be served or waited on. Other times we compare ourselves to other people and we say, you know, we're working hard and we don't see those other people doing the same things. What we fail to see is that we're here to serve. Our focus is on Christ and realizing that Jesus gave up the very best to come to this earth to serve us. Let me give you some passages to think about here. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God gave the very best for us. The very best left heaven for us so that He could go to the cross and serve us. I want you to look at one more thing here with me. He goes on and says here, he says, look at verse 28. Ye are they which have continued with me in my trials. The King James Version says my temptations, but trials or tests are better rendered here. And I appoint unto you a kingdom. I want you to notice here, there is a kingdom. It's not futuristic, as some people teach. But he says, I am appointing you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me. You will be a part of that kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's what they're going to do as they endure. And many of these apostles are going to go on and be beheaded, even some of them murdered for the cause of Christ. James would be executed with the sword, and on we can go. Every single one of these men would have to suffer for the cause of Christ. Which brings us to this other point of serving. As we move back into the text here, and I did this for a reason, I want you to move back two chapters and look at Luke chapter 20 for our second point. First of all, we've already noticed that if you're going to be the greatest, you have to be a servant. The second point this evening is in Luke chapter 20. And I want you to notice here with me this idea of servitude. Beginning here, he is going to Christ, is going to teach this, we might say, a parable. Notice here beginning in verse 9. Then began Jesus to speak to people in this parable. A parable is it comes from the Greek term parabolos, and it means to lay down beside. And the idea here is that Jesus is taking a common thing done or a common thing that people knew about. We would like say hunting, fishing, or something like that, planting, farming. And he would take things that people understood, and he would take those and he would make a spiritual truth on those things. And so what he did here, notice here with me. A certain man planted a vineyard, and he let it forth to the husband. In other words, he rented it out to him, and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandman that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandman beat him and sent him away empty. Now, the parable here is designed to teach you that God sends His prophets in the Old Testament. He's showing that the person, that the servants that he's sending here are the prophets who are telling that Christ is coming. Christ is coming. Christ is coming. Get your life right. Christ is coming. And over again, as they send these servants, they are beaten. Some of them will be killed. Notice here, verse 11. Again, he sent another servant, and they beat him also and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? What am I going to do? I will send my beloved son. Notice that. The same wording that you find in John 3:16. I will send my beloved son. It may be that they will reverence him when they see him. What did God do? God sent his son. But when the husbandman saw him, notice this, the husbandman being the Jews, when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? The answer, verse 16. He shall come and destroy these husbandmen, shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, what is it then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And notice verse 19. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on Jesus, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. There it is. That's the meaning of the parable. And so what Jesus is trying to teach us about servitude here is that Jesus is looking for servants who are willing to suffer for his cause. Many of these prophets were no doubt sent to warn people, to get them to repent, to be willing to turn people back to light, from darkness to light. Many of these would be killed. But there's something we need to understand too. That is, of course, if we're living the Christian life, all who live godly will suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3:12. That if we live a godly life, we will suffer at the hands of other people. It's part of the Christian life. Matthew 5 mentions that, "Blessed are you when men shall persecute you, shall revile you, shall say all manner of evil falsely for his name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for they did so also to the prophets." Here it is, this example that we just read. Suffering servants are needed in the kingdom of God. Point number 3 this evening. Move back again in the text. Luke chapter 10. Move backward. We're moving backward this evening. We normally move forward, don't we? We're moving backward, but look at Luke chapter 10, familiar chapter. Maybe we don't catch these things as we read through, but there are no chapter divisions. And if you've never read the Bible with no chapter divisions, let me encourage you to do so. Because a lot of times we stop and we miss the emphasis on what's in the text. But I want you to notice here in Luke chapter 10, and beginning in verse 38, which is our third point this evening. Servants who serve put Christ first above all other things. Begin reading with me now in verse 38, and then we're going to move back up into the text of chapter 10 a little bit later. "Now it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." If you want to do a little background reading on Martha, you ought to turn over sometimes and read over in the book of John chapter 11, and also turn over there and look at the one who was actually wiping, using her very tears for repentance in this same book of Luke. You know what you find? You find these same two women, Mary and Martha. Lazarus would die in John chapter 11. And the Bible tells us here that here is a woman now named Martha who received Jesus into her home. Now look at verse 39. "She had a sister called Mary." No doubt Mary was the one who was interested in what Jesus had to say. But notice this. "She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about," and underline it right here in your Bibles. She was too busy serving. She was serving not in a way that was really the most important. She was cumbered about with much serving, the King James says, "and came to him and said," notice this, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me alone to serve?" Don't we think that sometimes? We do, don't we? We're all alone. Sometimes we think, you know what, I'm here by myself. I'm the only one really serving. She says, "Lord, I'm in here. I'm fixing food for you. I'm preparing meals for you. And I'm waiting, I'm cleaning up, I'm trying to be a good a Christian, I'm trying to be a good person here. I'm trying to show hospitality," which was a common practice for those who came into their home. He says, "Bid her, therefore, that she helps me." Jesus answered and said unto her, notice this, "Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things." That's our problem a lot of times. We're so concerned, we're so worried about things and how things look, how things appear to other people, what we say. We get so caught up in things in the world, our Facebook status, our social relationships with other people, and we forget about the most important thing, and that's God. We forget about the most important thing, the kingdom of God. We forget about the most important thing, and that's studying God's Word. So what do we end up with? We end up just like Martha. Notice verse 42. "You're troubled about many things, Martha, but one thing is needful." And notice this in the text. "Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Was there anything wrong with cleaning house? Was there anything wrong with fixing food for Jesus? Was there anything wrong with showing hospitality? Absolutely not. But when we choose the lesser things over the greater things, we made a terrible mistake. When we choose to miss the Lord's assembly, to worship God in spirit and truth, when we got time for everything else in life, but we don't have time for the Lord, we're doing exactly what Martha is doing right here. Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You see, the text is teaching us to be a faithful servant. To serve others requires us, first of all, to recognize where our devotion is, first and foremost, and that's to God, to Christ. Now move back to verse 30, same chapter. We're almost out of time. Appreciate your good attention. We know the story. I won't go through it. Beginning of verse 30, Jesus answered, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho." The idea is, who is my neighbor? The lawyer tests Jesus in asking this. We don't know if the motives were sincere or not, but he asked this for a reason. He asked this because he wants to see, who is my neighbor? And sometimes we ask some of the same questions. But notice what Jesus does. "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. By chance there came a certain priest that way, and when he saw it, he passed by on the other side. The Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and he also passed by on the other side." Notice here, verse 33, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." There's three things that we need to see right here in the text about serving. When there's opportunities, we cannot miss them. Let me repeat. Serving requires us as Christians looking for opportunities to sow the seed, the Word of God. That is our responsibility, to serve others. It's not that every single person we sow the seed to will obey the gospel. Jesus couldn't save everyone. He taught everyone. He gives us the words of life right here, the wonderful words of life. But even as great a teacher as Jesus was, the master teacher couldn't save everyone. Jesus requires that as servants of His that we actually sow the seed, the Word of God. Luke 8:11. Here, notice here the opportunities missed by the religious elite. That's the part that we miss sometimes. Here's the Levite. Here's the priest, the so-called people of God, and they pass right on by someone who has a need. But you have the despised Samaritan. The Jews turned their nose. As a matter of fact, if you go back to John chapter 4, they went out of their way to go all the way around Samaria because they didn't want to have any dealings with these people. But it was the Samaritan that was willing to have compassion on the man who was beaten. And he bound up his wounds and poured oil and wine and set him on his beast and took him to the inn and said, "Take care of him, and if I owe you anything else," he said, "I will pay for it." Now look at verse 36. Here's the meat of the text. "Which now of these three do you think was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" Which one do you think it was? He asked the lawyer. And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go yourself and do likewise." We are to expect to be servants of God. We have to be willing to show mercy to other people. We must be willing to give people the benefit of the doubt. And we must have an attitude that looks for an opportunity to share God's word with them. Because if not, if we miss those opportunities, we're just like the Levite and the priest. We're passing by on the other side. And we're missing an opportunity to serve other people. Come on, if you would, bow with me for a word of prayer, and I'm going to turn this over to Brother Ed. Appreciate your good attention. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this opportunity to study your word. We're thankful for those who are here this evening. We're thankful for our willingness to glean from your word. We pray that we will not only learn from it, Father, but we will become better people at serving you. We pray, Father, and we're so thankful for Jesus, who was willing to not only leave heaven, but to serve, Father, and to do your will. We're thankful for that, and we have a pattern that we can follow after. And we pray, Father, that we will not only do those things that are pleasing in your sight, But we will give glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Brother Ed, if you come.